Hey guys, we're so excited to share this message with you on the Center Set podcast. My name is Ethan and I lead worship here at Center Set. We'd love for you to download our app so that you can keep up with all that is happening in our community. Text Center Set to 77977 to download.
Let's pray. Let's get serious this morning. God's got a special word for you guys. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Pray with me. God, we didn't come to this first service on Sunday of 2019 to come to an old building, God. We came to experience the God that's alive.
Yeah.
And God, you're going to speak this morning to us. I pray that, Lord, that you would even speak to me as I'm preaching, God. Revive my heart to the things that you have that are fresh this year. God, I want to put you not just at the top of my list, God. I want to put you on every element of my list, in my finances, in my faith, in my fitness, in my family, God. In every area that I have a goal, God, I want you to be there with me. I pray for every person in this room that can hear my voice that this would be the year that's the greatest year of their life, that the best is yet to come, and that, God, you are not only good, you are really good. And I just pray that you would speak to us this morning. You would reveal Jesus so we can love you and know you more. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Read with me, Jonah chapter 1. We are in a brand new sermon series called The God of the Second Chance. And I know it's going to encourage you. Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Why is the word of the Lord coming to Jonah? Jonah is a prophet. Prophets hear from God, and then they tell the people the message. And I want to tell you in 2019 that God, the word of the Lord is still alive and active. The word still wants to come to you in your faith. See, Christianity is not a religion where you go to a building. It's about a relationship with the living God who wants to speak to you. I'm tired of people coming to me and saying, Ali, pray for me. When God wants to speak to you himself. He came to Jonah and he wants to come to you. And if you allow yourself, if you make yourself available for the next 21 days through prayer and fasting, listen, I love what Pastor Yasmin and Sarah said, that praying doesn't change God. It changes us.
Yeah.
And God wants to use the next 21 days. Listen, if you give him the first 21 days of the year, the rest of your year will be blessed. And the word of God wants to speak to you, but will you make yourself available? Will you slow down enough for you to hear his voice? Because the question is not, does God speak? The question is, are you listening? And when you dig into this verse a little bit longer, a little bit deeper, Jonah, even the word is interesting. The word means, look, check out this word. Jonah means dove. Did you know that birds will flee an incoming storm? Some birds will leave 2 days before a storm arrives. And it's so beautiful about this picture because Jonah, he's a prophet, but he's acting like a bird. He's about to run from his problems. He's known by theologians as the reluctant prophet. And even his dad's name, it has meaning and significance for us this morning. Amittai, his dad, means truth. So Jonah means dove, and he's the son of truth. But Jonah's got a problem. And his problem is that he runs from the things that God tells him to. And before we, as we begin this new sermon series, as we enter 2019, my question for you this morning, and I want to challenge some of you, what are the things that you're running from that you should be running to? Let me say that again. What are the things that you're running from that you should be running to? See, 2018, I'm not sure what it was for you, but 2018 was a good year for me. But there were still some things that I was afraid of doing. There are still some things that I avoided with God. And I'm learning that I don't want to be afraid anymore of the promises of God. I don't want to be afraid of anymore of the things that God is calling me to. I want to run to the storm. I want to run to my problems because it's in the midst of the problem. Listen, that's when God shows himself most faithful. And I want this year to be the best year of your life. Anyone here this morning believe that this morning?
Yeah.
That's why I titled this sermon, Can't Keep Running. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't keep running. Turn to the other neighbor, the one that you ignored, say, you can't keep running. God wants this to be the best year of your life. And Jonah means dove, and he's the son of truth. And if you've never been to Center Set before, this is how we do Bible studies. It's going to be a good time. Welcome to Center Set. Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. Read this verse with me. It says, go, this is the word of the Lord speaking now. Go to the great city of Nineveh. And preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. And the first, I have three observations this morning. If you're taking notes, because they say if you take notes in church, you're more likely to go to heaven. I'm not sure if it's true, but I'm going to do it anyways. But if you're taking notes this morning, the first truth that you need to realize is that God sometimes will tell you things that you don't want to hear. God doesn't always tell you things that you like. See, some of you come to Jesus this morning and you think he's Burger King. You get it your way. He's the King of Kings and it's his way. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? What do you mean he doesn't give me he's not a vending machine, guys. It's easy to look at the story of Jonah. Maybe you heard about this little wooden boy who disobeyed his dad and a whale swallowed him up and he lit a candle. That's Pinocchio, by the way. I'm just joking. This is a real story of a guy named Jonah. And he runs from the things that God tells him to, and because he doesn't like the thing that he tells him. And it's easy for us to look at Jonah and judge him. But you need to understand the context. See, Jonah, is an Israelite. And the country that he's supposed to go to, Nineveh, is the capital of a city called Assyria. And Assyria, this isn't just a Game of Thrones evil. This is like way worse than that. These are the most barbaric people in history. Most countries, when they come and invade, they kill the men and they leave the women and children. The Assyrians would kill everyone. There are stories where Assyrians, they would torture you before you died. They would skin you alive. They would bury you in the sand with only your head exposed, and then they'd leave you to die of starvation. And then when after you died, they'd go even further. They'd cut your head off, and at the city gates, they'd build a pyramid of heads. Why would they do that? To let every other nation know, this is what we do to you when you mess with us. Their history even records that some cities, listen, when they heard the Assyrians were coming, the whole city would commit suicide. They were so afraid of the Assyrians. Listen, we look at Jonah, and we're like, man, Jonah's a coward. Listen, you are afraid to invite your barista from church to church. Don't judge Jonah yet, right? See, the thing about 2019 is if you make yourself available, God will speak to you. And you need to know he's going to say some things that you're not going to like. He's going to say some things that you're going to push back on. Let me tell you, in 2015, when God clearly spoke and said, this is the year that I'm preparing you, because next year you're going to start a church. Listen, for the first 3 months, this is the happy side of the story. This is after I obeyed. But what you don't know is I had disobeyed like Jonah for 3 months. I said, you have the wrong guy, God. I can't do this. I'm not qualified. I don't know enough. I've never done this before. No. And for 3 months, it was a daily battle with God. And listen, even the reporter that was interviewing me and my wife, they said, wait, you never finished seminary. You've never preached more than 40 sermons. You never even led as a senior pastor. What are you doing? And see, what God wants to do, listen, he wants to take you out of your comfort zone. He wants you to walk in a way where you lean on him and not on your own understanding. And he wants you to acknowledge him in all your ways, and then he wants to do the miracle through you. Yeah. See, the story of our church is not about me. It's about God in our weaknesses. That's when he shows his greatest strength. And did you know that in my 3 months of disobedience, even though I finally did obey, delayed obedience is still disobedient. Every night, my wife and I were trying to create a new routine for our daughter where she loves to play Legos in the living room. And then like half an hour before bedtime, because it takes a half an hour to cool this cat down, we say, Sophie, in 5 minutes, you got to clean up your toys. She kind of gives me side eye and keeps playing. I'm like, Sophie, 2 more minutes. Sophie, it's time. And then I do what every dad does. I'm going to count to 3, Sophie, and I'm going to put your toys in timeout. 1, 2, and I do what every parent does, 2.5. 2 and 3, yeah, right? And some of you this morning, God has spoken to you and you think he's counting on you. Like he's counting 1, 2.5. And really what you're doing is you're disobeying him. Imagine for a moment you're on a football team and the coach rallies the team. It's fourth quarter. He goes, I'm going to call your play. And it's up to you now to get tackled. And you're like, coach, I can't run this play. He's like, why? Did you get your nails did? Like, what's wrong? He's like, I don't want to get tackled, coach. See, that's the funny thing about Christians. Sometimes we will pick and choose the things that we want to obey with God. See, most of us are more concerned with being tackled than scoring touchdowns. See, most of us are concerned not about what the team thinks, not about what the coach thinks. It's more about what the outcome is for me. But maybe your team needs you. Maybe your coach needs you. Maybe you realize this truth, that your calling, listen, your calling on the screen, your calling is not about your glory, but it's about God's glory. Or write this hashtag down. Your calling is greater than your comfort. Your calling is more important than your feelings. Your calling is more important than your lifestyle. See, sometimes God will speak to you and there'll be things that you will push back on. Just because you don't understand it, just because you don't get it or want to believe it, doesn't mean you shouldn't obey it. Yeah. See, the Bible's filled with stories of men who didn't agree with God, but they still obeyed him. Take the guy named Abraham. Maybe you're new to church. This guy named Abraham, 75 years old. And God comes to him when he's child and says, you're going to be the father of many nations. Abraham's like, you're crazy, God. I don't even have one son. He's like, wait for my promise. Watch what I'm going to do through your family. Yeah. And Abraham waits 25 years for the promise, 25 years for the promised son. And after he has a son named Isaac, God comes to him and says, sacrifice your son. My question for you this morning, did Abraham was willing, which is why he's the father of our faith, but did he want to? Did he want to? Take the guy named David, for example. David is 13 years old. He's got 3 armpit hairs and a slingshot. He's about to go fight a guy named Goliath. When no other man in the country wanted to fight him, David was willing. Listen, but did he want to? Yeah. take three guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're taken out of their home country and taken to another country called Babylon. And that king Nebuchadnezzar says, if you don't worship me, I'm going to throw you in an oven. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't get out of the shower that morning like, guys, I want to be like toast today. You guys feel the same thing? I'm feeling those mood toast vibes this morning. Were they willing to go in the furnace to obey God? Yes, but did they want to? Take even our Savior, the God who became a man, Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he's crucified, he goes, God, take this cup and pass it from me. What is he saying? I don't want to do this, God. Not my will, but your will. My flesh is weak, God, but my spirit is willing. My question for you this morning is, are you going to disobey God on the things that he's calling you to do? If you want this to be the best year of your life, you need to realize that there's a Jonah in all of us. Not just me, is in you. We can laugh at Jonah, we can poke fun at him, but there's a little bit of Jonah in all of us. And if you want this to be the best year of your life, listen, you got to acknowledge that there are things that he's going to call you to do that you're going to push back on. Let's keep reading with our Bible study. Read this verse with me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Where is he going? He's fleeing from the Lord. And the second truth that I want you to realize this morning is that there will always be another boat heading the wrong direction. There will always be another boat headed in the wrong direction. See, if you look at this story and go into a little bit of the details, when God, the word of the Lord, comes to Jonah and speaks to him the same way he wants to speak to you, he goes, go to Nineveh. On a map, Nineveh's 500 miles away. It's like a drive from here to LA. It's like a day's trip. Jonah does the exact opposite. He goes 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. See, here's the thing that I realized this morning. It takes more effort to disobey God than to obey him. And some of you are so creative with your sin. You're a wizard at deleting your browser history. You got your fake Instagram accounts. How does he know? I don't know. I think he's a prophet. Man, this was a picture of my childhood growing up. My dad would speak to me. My dad would tell me what to do. And I would go out of my way, listen, to rebel against him. I'm not sure about if you, but I had a Middle Eastern dad. Maybe he matches some Hispanic dads. If you don't do well, he grounds you, right? You don't leave the house. Maybe white people had a different childhood. Mine was beatings and being stuck in my room. And I would learn, listen, to sneak out of my house. And there were times where he would catch me. I'm like, Dad, listen, I was studying and I fell out the window. He's like, get back in your room before I'm not going to even say what he would do, right? But that's a picture of us. Jonah is running from God. And I just believe that 2019, God is going to speak some things that he already told you in 2018. See, you already know what you're supposed to do. And God is still waiting for you to do those things. Maybe this is the year that you give up cigarettes. And as soon as you walk out this room, listen, there's going to be another opportunity to go on a different boat. Maybe you're going to go to the gas station. There's going to be a 2-for-1 special, 2 cigarettes for a pack of one. Like, God, this is not a sign. This is another boat. Maybe this is the year that you're going to finally give your sexuality to God. And God told you that man that you're with isn't your husband, and he wants you for himself. And as soon as you walk out, you're going to get a booty call. Let's just be real this morning. We're at Center Set. Don't get on that other boat. Maybe this is the year you want to lose some weight. And as soon as you come to church, someone brought some salty donuts, right? And you're like, get inside my belly, Satan, right? It's another boat. Maybe you struggle with gossip. And you're so good, TMZ should hire you, right? And as soon as you walk out, someone's going to text you some juicy details, and you're going to get on the wrong boat. Maybe this is the year that you pray for patience, and you got some crazy drivers who drive slow, right? You're going to get angry. And the very thing that you prayed for and wanted, you're going to get on the wrong boat. See, it's easy to look at Jonah's life and judge him when we do the same exact thing. See, there isn't one way, there's the Jesus way. And God wants to speak to you this year that whenever the word of the Lord speaks to you, listen, there's always an opportunity to go in the wrong direction. There's always an opportunity to go in the wrong direction. And I can tell you, there are three things that I would do, three things that changed my life. If you're taking notes this morning, if you want to get on the right boat, if you want to make sure that your faith stays grounded in the things that God called you, you got to do these three things. Number one is intimacy with God. I didn't say go to church. I didn't say read your Bible. I didn't say serve. Those are all good things. Intimacy with God is about a relationship. Yeah. See, the word intimacy is literally intimacy. It's literally where you see who the real God is, not who this pastor is telling you he is, but you get alone with him. And again, and you get to see him for who he really is. That Christianity is not about going to a building and singing some songs and wearing skinny jeans. It's about having a relationship with the living God. The word of the Lord wants to come to you. Same way that came to Jonah, same way that came to me. He wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you why you were born. He wants to tell you why he gifted you that way. He wants to give you a purpose and a plan for your life. Intimacy is about relationship. That's the whole point of this journal. That when you make yourself available to him, he's going to speak. And the whole point of praying and fasting is praying connects you with God. Listen, and fasting disconnects you from the world. It's like supercharging your spirituality. And God, if you make yourself available to him, he will speak to you. Make the goal in 2019. Intimacy, not church attendance. Make it relationship, not activity. Second thing that God wants from you, that if you want to get on the right boat this morning, is Bible application. I'm going to say something very controversial and you need to hear it. Satan knows every promise in the Bible. But the blessing is not in the knowing. It's in the doing. The blessing is always in the doing. See, you can know every verse, you can know every promise, but until you obey it, you will never experience it. That's why at Center State, we don't just want to grow in our knowledge, we want to grow in our obedience. My question for you is, don't just read the Bible. Don't let it just be words on a book. Don't let it just be a book in your house. The Bible is the only book that will read you. It's the only book that's living and active. It will read your heart. It will read your motives. Let it speak to you. Don't just read your Bible. Let it read you. Let it read your motives. Let it speak to you that things that no one else knows. See, there are times when I'm reading my Bible and a verse will pop out and God says, that's your verse. And he's the only one that knows what's going on in my heart. And I have to apply what he just said. It's not for you. It's for me. Don't just read the Bible, apply it. And the third thing is this, community with believers. Notice this isn't community with people. You need other Christians in your life. This is why I'm so excited for, at the end of this month, we are launching life groups. At the end of January, we're launching a new season of life groups. We had 30 people last semester that wanted to get into a group that couldn't. Listen, we're training up a brand new wave of life group leaders that want to help you on this walk. Jonah, listen, he's a professional Christian. He's paid to do good. You and I are good for nothing. He hears the word of the Lord, doesn't like it, so he runs. He doesn't go to his center set crew. He goes to a ship crew. He doesn't go to his center set dream team. He goes to a crew of seamen. Doesn't go to his friends and family, those that know the calling of God on his life, know the promises, know the character that he wants to live that year. He goes to a bunch of people that don't even know him or know his God. See, some of you this morning, you're not intentional with the people that you spend most time with. And you will always find yourself on the wrong boat based on the people that you surround yourself by. You are a collection of the five people that you hang out with the most. Maybe you heard that in junior high growing up, but it's true. Show me your five best friends and I'll show you your future. If you want to change the boat that you're on, listen, you need to change your friends. You need to change your friends. If you don't know where you're going, listen, this truth is truth for your life. If you don't know where you're going, people will gladly take you where they're going. See, sometimes you will wake up, realize, where am I? Why did I end up here? Because you allowed other people to take you on a journey you didn't want to go on because you didn't have a vision for your life. And it's not like people are bad. It's that you didn't have direction for your own self. And Jesus, listen, he not only wants to speak to you, he's going to speak some challenging things, but running from him is the worst thing that you can do. This is why you need intimacy with him. This is why you need to apply what he's saying and you need other believers to encourage you. When I got that word that this was going to be the year that I was going to leave, listen, I needed mentors in my life to encourage me. I needed mentors in my life to tell me not to quit, even though everything in my flesh wanted to. Why is there always another boat? Listen, because if the enemy can't stop you, he will use all of his energy to distract you. He will get you on a boat to tire you out, to wear you out, to the point where you quit. His goal is always to stop you. But how many of you know that our God is so good that he wants to give you community, he wants to give you purpose, he wants to give you direction, and if you allow yourself to have intimacy with him, if you allow yourself to apply what you're learning, if you surround yourself with community, I promise you 2019 will be the best year of your life. Let's read a few more verses, and I'm going to close this out. This next verse says, and I'm going to read about 13 verses, and then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck where he had laid down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work did you do?" I love that question, by the way. What do you do for a living? "Where did you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row to land, but they could not, for the sea grew wilder than before. I love that these pagan, godless men show more love than Jonah does. Then they cried out to the Lord, said, "Please, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." They took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. They became Christian through Jonah's disobedience. Miracle. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And my final point is this. Sometimes God, the most loving thing that he can do is he will give you a storm to wake you up. He will give you a storm to wake you up. See, when you look at this story, Jonah, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And the Lord told him what to do, and Jonah ran from him because he's afraid. He's afraid of the Ninevites, and maybe the Lord came to you in 2018 and he spoke to you. Maybe he told you to reconcile with a friend. Maybe he told you to forgive that person in your life. Maybe he told you to serve in the church that you're supposed to serve in. Maybe he told you to honor him in your finances. Maybe he told you to reconcile with a parent or a child in your life. But you've been running. You've been delaying your obedience. And Jonah thought, if I just run from my problems, they'll get smaller. But how many of you know this is a perfect picture of what God is going to do in your life this year? You can run from him, but you can't hide. And then the Bible says that Jonah buys a ticket to get on a boat. And as he's sailing away, he goes down below deck and he falls into a deep sleep. I just believe that this room is full of people that you've been sleeping on your calling. You've been sleeping on the promises of God over your life. You've been sleeping on the calling that he has for you. And the most loving thing that God can do is to wake you up with a storm. See, what's so interesting about the story, these sailors, they spend their entire life at sea. The water doesn't scare them, but there is something supernatural about this storm. Imagine watching the deadliest catch on Bravo. Those guys never freak out. These men are terrified. This is a supernatural storm. And they go to Jonah and go, "Jonah, where are you from?" And when they wake up Jonah, listen, Jonah doesn't just wake up physically. There's an indication in this that he wakes up spiritually. Read Jonah chapter 1, verse 9 with me. He answered, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord." He is reminding himself of his calling, of who he is. I am a child of God. God has a calling on my life. That God who made the heavens and the earth, he's my God. And he made the sea and the dry land. Jonah is awakened spiritually. He's reminded of who he is. And some of you, the most loving thing that God can do is to allow a storm in your life to wake you up. I just believe so much this morning that some of you are sleeping on your calling. Some of you are sleeping on your destiny. Some of you are running from God and he's chasing after you. I'm not saying that every storm in your life is because of disobedience, but I am saying that some of the storms are because God's trying to get your attention. Some of you say, no, that's the devil. No. Sometimes we act like a devil. We run with him. But sometimes it's our fault. And how many of you remember math growing up? How many of you liked math growing up? Thank you for ruining it for all of us. But in the third or fourth grade, remember long division? You couldn't just turn in your answer. You had to show the work to how you got to the answer. Why? Because the teacher wanted to know that there was evidence that you knew what was going on. See, you showing your work revealed how that you knew how to solve the problem. What's happening in this verse is that God is working on Jonah's heart, and there's evidence that he's becoming a Christian as he's saying these words. Because watch what he says in verse 12. He says, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you." Jonah is declaring that salvation is not simply acknowledging that Jesus is God, but it's saying that Jesus had to come in the form of a man and die for me because of my mistakes, because it was my fault, the things that I had done. See, Christianity is not just acknowledging that Jesus is God, it's surrendering to him. And for the first time in Jonah's life, he's surrendering to the God of the Bible. He had been in church, but he had not allowed church into his heart. He had gone around Christians, but he had never allowed Jesus to enter his heart. See, you can be around God, but not let him in. And Jonah, for the first time in his life, surrendered. He said, "If you just throw me into the sea, if you throw me in, this whole thing is my fault. The storm will stop." The very thing that he was most afraid of, running from God, the thing that he was most afraid of doing, submitting to the will of God, he finally gave up. I just want to say prophetically, some of you are Jonas. You come to church and you know that he's God and he wants you to surrender. You don't need to come to a building. You don't need to read a book. You need to surrender to him in your heart, and the storm will stop when you do. Some of you realize that even though Jonah's name means dove, listen, there's another symbol in the Bible for the dove. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy that God did not give us a spirit of fear. He didn't give us a spirit that we would be afraid to give us the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, listen, he wants to put that spirit in you. The things that you think are impossible, he wants to make possible. The things that you're afraid of, he wants to remove the obstacles. But will you surrender? See, this is a story of me surrendering. This is the very thing that I was running from. My question for you this morning is, what are you running from? What's the thing that God wants to do in your life that he's already told you to do, but you keep running from? See, the only way that God can show himself strong is when you submit and show yourself weak and say, "You know what, God, I can't do it. I need you. God, you are the God of heaven and earth, and you are the one that made the sea." And if I can get you guys to stand up, I want to pray for you this morning, because I want this to be the best year of your life. I don't want this to be another year where you go to church. I want this to be a year where you experience the promises, the faithfulness of God over your life. And it begins, listen, by recognizing that he's going to speak some things that you're not going to like. And as soon as he speaks them, listen, there will always be a boat in the opposite direction. But some of you need to hear this. Some of the storms in your life is God's love trying to get your attention. And the way that you calm the storm is you surrender. And a storm isn't because he's angry. The storm is because he loves you. If he was angry, he'd throw lightning. Listen, he wants you back. Jesus came and left heaven to die, to raise you up, not to beat you down. Some of you, your picture of God is wrong. God loves you. God died to give you a new destiny. And this God of the Bible is the God of the second chance. If he can use a rebellious prophet like Jonah, if he can use a skinny jean wearing person like me, of course he can use you. Of course he wants this to be the best year of your life. But will you let him? Will you surrender? You can come to church, but I can't surrender for you. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. Some of you have legitimate reasons not to want to submit. I get it. But there's hope on the other side. There's hope on the other side. Our God is good. And Jonah, for the first time in his life, experienced the peace of God, the peace that surpasses understanding. And the storm, listen, finally calmed in his life. I'm not sure what storms, financial storms, relationship storms, relational storms you are experiencing. I'm not God promising that God's going to remove those issues, but I am saying some of them will go away as soon as you submit, as soon as you surrender your heart to him. Not just come to church, not just call him God, but I surrender. The devil never surrenders. The blessing is not in the knowing. The blessing is in the doing. If you guys can close your eyes and bow your head, I'd love to pray for you that this will be the best year of your life. God, I just pray for every person in this room that can hear my voice, that this year, 2019, would be the best year of their life. Best year relationally, financially, spiritually, in their family, in their faith, God. But the first step, God, is surrender. The first thing that they got to do, God, is they got to believe by faith that you're alive, that you're going to speak. But when you do, God, I know it's going to be hard, but that they would surrender. If that's you this morning, if you're like Jonah, God's spoken to you things that you should do, but you have been running from them, and you want to stop, and you want to calm the storm in your life, I would love to pray for you. No one's looking, no eye is open. This is just between you and God. If that's you, you want to start the new year right. You want to stop running from His promises, His calling on your life, the things that He's already asked you to do. Would you be willing to raise your hand? No one's looking. This is just between you and God. Yes, I see your hand over there and there on the side, there in the back. Yes. Just pray this prayer with me. God, I don't want to run anymore, God. I don't want to run anymore in the wrong direction. I want to surrender to you, Lord. I want to surrender to you, Lord. God, would you calm the storm? God, I'm sorry I ran in the wrong direction. I'm sorry I got on the wrong boat. But I'm so grateful, Jesus, that you left heaven to die for me because you are the God of the second chance. Would you fill me with your Spirit? Would you give me new life? I just feel so led to ask, do you know this Jesus? Do you know the word of the Lord? In John chapter 1, it says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word of the Lord is Jesus. And 2,000 years ago, God became a man in the person of Jesus. And he died on a cross for your sin, to die for our mistakes, for every person in this room. And if you don't have a relationship with him, he would love to start one with you. He doesn't want you to go to a building. He doesn't want you to read a book. He wants a relationship, a friendship, intimacy, that you would see into him, see him for who he really is, his character, and how his thoughts for you are good. And when you see him for who he really is, he's going to tell you who you really are. He's going to tell you what your calling is. He's going to tell you what 2019 is going to look like. He's going to come to you the way he did to Jonah. He's going to speak to you. Some of you feel very far from God to this morning. Some of you have no relationship with Jesus. You've been coming to church, but you have no relationship. If that's you this morning, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you want to start a relationship with the living God, no one's looking. This isn't even between me and you. This isn't even between you and this church. This is between the word of the Lord and you, the one who loves you, the one who created you, the one who gave you a calling and a purpose in life. If you want to start a relationship with him, would you just raise your hand and say, God, I want to start this year with you. I want a relationship with you this year, God. Would you just pray this prayer with me? Jesus, thank you that you left heaven, that you lived a sinless, perfect life, and that you died on a cross for my sin. I don't know who you are, God, but I want to learn. I don't know why you love me the way that you do. I don't know why you would suffer so much on a cross for me, even before I knew you, Lord. But I want to know you. I want to follow you. Would you speak to me the way that you did to Jonah? Would you give me visions and dreams for my life? Would you speak to me, God? I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I want to follow you all the days of my life. Would you fill me with your Spirit?
Thanks so much for joining us on today's podcast. We hope this message gives you hope. If you need prayer or want to reach out to us at all, we hope you do at info@centerset.church. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Centerset Church and Facebook. We'll see you guys next time.